मेरो आवाजमा तिमी छौ.
This is an Akron refugee story, from surviving to thriving. Thanks for joining us. I'm Andrew Meyer. Akron owes its only population growth since the turn of the century to a kingdom on the other side of the earth. As many as 5,000 Nepali people have made their way to the city during the last decade. It's been a dramatic change for people who had held on to their culture during centuries in Bhutan and decades in refugee camps in Nepal. They went to work in the Gojo plant, enrolled their kids in public schools, and learned how to navigate roads, snow, and the U.S. system. But those who work with refugees say real success is in moving people from surviving to thriving. Over the course of the next half hour, WKSU's ML Schulze introduces you to ways Akron's newest settlers have made that move in small, yet all-encompassing ways. Stay with us.
मैले भरेका सङ्गीतहरूमा तिम्रै झन्काले छुन्छ चाहे तिमी निष्ठुरी.
Akron and Summit County have launched a plan to better integrate the thousands of refugees and immigrants who have moved into the community. The Welcoming Community Plan focuses on language, culture, economics, education, health, and other services, and it's built in large part on the lessons learned over a decade from the region's largest group of refugees. Meanwhile, as individuals and as a community, the refugees themselves have taken on issues ranging from suicide to bringing Ohio's infant mortality rate under control. Akron is celebrating just about every outward sign of the resettlement of Bhutanese refugees, from the Nepali grocery stores to the recovering housing market to the festivals that transform urban parks into a swirl of color and sound. Tiffany Ann Stacy, who consults with area businesses on cross-cultural issues, puts it this way.
The majority group is no longer primarily concerned with surviving, and now they're really moving on to living normal lives.
But perhaps the strongest sign of that is, in fact, survival. Just a few years ago, suicide was a major concern. Nationally, the rate among Bhutanese refugees was twice the general population, and higher than among other refugees. A study by the Ohio Department of Mental Health found nearly 9% of the Bhutanese refugees here had PTSD. About a third had anxiety. Nearly as many suffered from depression. Locally, a dozen people in the refugee community had died by suicide over 4 years, and there were lots of stories of others who tried. But last year, that dropped to just 2 deaths among Asian Americans in all of Summit County. Dr. Surendra Beer Adhikari, a medical sociologist with the Ohio Department of Mental Health, says the change required awareness in the mental health community and a decision by the refugee community to take control of the problem. He says it begins with acknowledging problems.
We know you're in this situation. We know you're having a hard time. But now this is your country now.
Amber Subo was, until recently, a case manager at the International Institute of Akron. He's helped settle about 3,000 of his countrymen, women, and children in this area. He's also a composer, writer, and the passion behind the Stop Suicide effort. Subo was among the first to arrive in 2008 and acknowledges Akron wasn't ready. Language was a barrier, jobs were iffy.
Nobody had car, nobody had driver license, and we didn't have proper training of about bus, how to use bus. And we didn't know about the snow and things like that.
Now, he says, just about everyone has relatives already here. There's a community association, Karat, Hindu, and other religious groups, and language and citizenship classes. And Suba says there's a welcoming Akron.
There are so many such people who are coming to the community and made us comfortable. Whoa, this is our home, and there are people who care about us.
Still, he says trauma comes with losing family, property, and homeland, and with spending decades on hold in camps that were supposed to be temporary.
So, yeah, because of that stigma, they don't really want to share their problems. You don't want to be, like, a weak person.
So combating the isolation takes more than traditional counseling. Asia Inc. hosts groups called Lucky Seniors for older and disabled Nepali refugees in an old stone church on Akron's east side. There's dance, chatter, a shared meal, and there's this. About a dozen men and women gather in a circle. They pass a ball, and when the music stops, the holder must share something. Most choose a song. It's safe and culturally beloved. But some talk about anxiety. Dr. Adhikari gives a rough translation of one who sounds almost as if he's longing for camp life.
When we're in the camp, we're all together. But now here, we're all separated.
Ganesh Prodan works with Asia Inc. He spent 19 years in the camps as a teacher, counselor, and kind of small-town mayor. He says the biggest challenge remains language, and it deeply affects a patriarchal society.
Every single step depends upon the interpreter. People miss their tongue. Good, talented senior, they become dependent here to the children.
Dr. Adhikari says that's because the children have learned English.
You have the elder generation are trying to navigate their new life here. Then you have the younger generation who are acculturating pretty fast to the new life here. So there's a gap here.
But the younger generation is also the reason many came and are gaining confidence in the U.S. 22-year-old Nilam Gimare plans to be a doctor. But on this late summer afternoon, she serves as an interpreter for her grandfather, Chandra, and a group of other Bhutanese elders. They acknowledge language remains a frustration.
They feel very bad that when they get out of the house and see their neighbors, all they can do is like wave, but they feel like they want to talk to them and they can't say anything. They feel like even like dogs here can understand English, but not them.
But her grandfather adds that any problems are worth it.
He's happy that the kids and grandkids are doing well, and he would be even happy when grandkids are able to further their education and do something better in their life.
And the entire group laughs as he looks at her expectantly. Ohio has one of the highest infant mortality rates in the country, and the effort to get more babies to their first birthday is focusing increasingly on a kind of support group model for pregnancy. Most of the groups are formed around common due dates of expectant moms, but this one is formed around a different experience, that of being a Bhutanese refugee. 9 pregnant women get together on Friday mornings on Summa Health System's Akron campus in what looks more like a living room than a medical office. It's time for blood pressure, urine, and belly checks, time to compare swollen ankles, back pain, and sales on diaper bags. But 9 times, the chatter grows hushed. The women stop to listen to the fetal monitor detecting a heartbeat coming from the examination table behind a screen. Then they go back to comparing notes. Unlike other pregnancy centering groups, this one is not formed around due dates. It's formed around language. So, for example, Sanshu Rai shares the lessons learned from 3 pregnancies with a shy newcomer who's in the early stages of her first. Rai had her first son in the camps in Nepal, where she and about 100,000 other Bhutanese refugees lived for 2 decades. Her second boy was born here, and his baby brother will be.
Here in America, ultrasound, and everything's whether the baby was good or not, everything we know before the giving birth.
Dr. Dante Roulette says in many other ways, this group is not much different from Suma's other groups.
Centering pregnancy is kind of a fancy name for group prenatal care.
That means 2-hour group visits with physicians, nurses, case managers, and social workers. The first hour is all about the physical.
Doing the traditional medical examination where we measure the belly, listen to the baby's heartbeat, and get vitals, things that everyone's familiar with. But then for the second hour, we have a group discussion. And really, it's a discussion that is facilitated by the caregivers, but all of the education is coming from the women in the group themselves.
If you want to do a regular delivery this time.
Michelle Cusick is the nurse practitioner who works with the group. Beyond medical appointments, the Friday gatherings include education. There could be a lactation consultant 1 week, a hospital tour another. She says in many ways, the Nepali women are made for pregnancy centering.
The Nepali population embraces the medical model. They are engaged in their care. They're very bright as a population, so they tend to do very well, and they're pretty compliant with their care, which is good to see.
Is the baby moving good?
Can you tell, is it?
Yeah. Any contractions?
And then there's the practicality of having someone like Lakshmi Dhamaltekal in the room. She moved from Nepal to Atlanta in 2008, and like thousands of other Bhutanese refugees, migrated to Akron 4 years later. As a medical assistant and translator, she's the bridge between the Summa staff and the women. She says camaraderie is key for this group.
And they will share their knowledge, and they will talk each other in Nepali, and they are confident to talk each other and share their views.
Sakal notes healthcare was limited in the camps. So many of the newcomers are more used to sharing questions about their pregnancies with each other than with doctors. So the centering group combines the best elements of each. Dr. Roulette says some in the groups initially had a mistrust, especially when it came to talking about related issues such as intrauterine devices and other birth control. He says IUDs were almost a cultural taboo.
And when we talked about it as a group, it turns out that a lot of them knew people who had been sterilized back home with IUDs that could not be removed.
He says it was a moment for the caregivers here to understand real fears and to discuss ethical and moral parameters in U.S. medicine. Did it help?
Based on the uptake of intrauterine devices, I would say yes. But that was a long process.
Roulette notes that studies increasingly link premature birth, infant mortality, and health over a lifetime to stress. And he acknowledges living decades in refugee camps with lives largely on hold is a huge stressor, as is resettling halfway across the world. So he says the pregnancy-centering groups like Suma's are key to building health as well as trust over the long term.
So the baby's heartbeat's in the 130s, so it looks very good.
You're listening to an Akron refugee story, From Surviving to Thriving, a special report from WKSU News. We'll have much more coming up in a minute. Stay tuned.
एउटा साथी छ हृदयमा जसलाई मनमै राख्छु जसको मायामा म सधैं बाँचेको हुन्छु एउटा साथी छ हृदयमा जो अति नै प्यारो छ जसको मायामा मेरो यो संसार हाँसेको छ त्यो कोही नभएर तिमी नै
You're listening to an Akron refugee story, From Surviving to Thriving, a special report from WKSU News. Coming up later in the program, we'll introduce you to a couple who represents the first true union of Bhutan and Akron. But before we get to that, here's a look at how culture is bringing the city and its Bhutanese immigrants together. Here again is WKSU's Emil Schulze.
The look of Akron's North Hill has changed a lot since the Bhutanese refugees began arriving here a decade ago. But it's the sound that has transformed the neighborhood even more. And it's in the music that the blending of two cultures could be most noticeable. The Himalayan Music Academy is in a plain block building, across the parking lot from Irish Jack's Pub and upstairs from a karate studio and t-shirt shop. It's not much to look at, but a lot to listen to. All day, Saturdays and Sundays, children and adults are learning or perfecting the elaborate movements of classical, folk, and modern Nepali dance, with hip-hop occasionally blended in. In the two rooms behind that, others learn to play the madal and bansuri, and keyboard, drums, and guitar. The Academy's founder, Puswa Gajmer, says music is life.
To have a life, music must be there for me.
Gajmer is 32, a small man with a soft voice, except when he sings. He's also a classical guitarist trained in India and Nepal before moving to Chicago in 2011. 2 years later, he and his wife Shanti were drawn to Akron by its reputation among the international Nepali community. He says he shopped around first and family and friends recommended the move. For Gajmer, who's also an interpreter and auditor in a metallurgical lab, music is the opportunity and key to making life in the U.S. work for his community and vice versa.
Music is so important to our culture. At the same time, it's also important to another culture.
That other culture is Akron's culture. And he thinks the city that spawned the unique Akron sound of the 70s, think Devo, Tin Huey, the Bizarros, and Rubber City Rebels, might be ready for a new sound.
So many things are not in Western, and so many things are not in Eastern music or non-Western. So if they learn two different things, you know, there will be a very good creation in music.
Meanwhile, he's teaching a very old creation of music, traditional Nepali dances, along with modern songs, to kids like Sawan Suba. She's tall for a fourth grader, She's also a good enough dancer to join the older girls' rehearsal of a modern piece. But classical Nepali dance, a whirl of feet, hips, and hands that tell stories, is her passion.
Easy parts when you move your feet, and the hard parts when you learn how to do it with your hands.
She plans to be a star or a doctor. Dance makes her relax and focus. Math comes easy and makes her think. A few rows back, during a break, Samir Minali shows off a plié he picked up at Ballet XL Ohio. He says boys at school give him far more grief over ballet than Nepali dance.
Because they think it's only for girls, and they think that we have to wear tutus and stuff like that.
But for him, both work.
Ballet helps me here to like get more energetic and more flexible. And from here, I get more confident.
But before the dance comes the alphabet. Gopal Ghatani spends an hour drilling Sawan, Samir, and half a dozen others in the 36 letters and silent vowels of the Nepali alphabet. He explains that many of the refugee families couldn't read or write in their native language, and the focus of Akron schools is English immersion. That's fine, he says, but it can't be everything in the U.S.
It is not only the country of one language, one religion, and one kind of people. So it is like a huge garden. So where different kinds of flowers, they can grow and just they can bloom.
Alma de Blasio buys that. An Akron native and teacher at North High School, she's one of a handful of native Akronites studying Nepali at the Himalayan Music Academy.
I can say, Tupai Lai Kostucha. How are you? My accent is awful.
She notes that half of North High School students are from refugee families, Bhutanese and others, and most of the school rules are posted now in 10 languages. Besides,
this is what America is about, other people coming in and sharing their culture and sharing their lives.
Tiffany Ann Stacy says it's not at all surprising that the music would be the part of the culture shared first and most passionately. She's married to Amber Suba, a composer who was one of the first refugees to arrive in Akron.
So when people came over on the plane, people have very few things, but they bring their instrument. And dancing is something you can do without any equipment. So it's something that was easy to keep alive.
And the fusion of music is part of their household. She says their nearly two-year-old daughter, Paulina, is fascinated by Nepali music and dance. Meanwhile, their nearly four-year-old son, Silas, just got his first drum kit. Besides music, another skill many Bhutanese refugees brought from the camps in Nepal is weaving. In Akron, the skill has taken a new twist, and it's gaining a small but international customer base. It's a Sunday afternoon, and the women sitting on the floor of Mangali Rai's small apartment on Akron's north side are debating colors and patterns.
And we've got this diamond pattern. Should the triangle line outline be teal, or like the blue, or the green?
They're working on the themes for the spring collection, looking ahead at the soft greens and geometric shapes that may appeal to an international market. Mangali, Manmaya Rai, and Asmaya Suba are the core team today in a group that started in 2010 with a small nonprofit called Woven in Exile. They began with purses to sell at craft fairs and farmers markets. These days, the market for their work, while still small, is international. That's because of the other two women in the room.
I can't market. She can market. I can sew. So.
That's Liz Kuhn, who has a master's degree in weaving. The she's referring to in the room is Amy Kratzer, founder of the nonprofit Girl Set Free. We'll get to her in a moment. But first to Liz and her husband, Terry Kuhn, who are also referred to as Grandma and Grandpa by some of the kids in the Nepali community, and as honorary Bhutanese by the Bhutanese Community Association of Akron. They started Woven in Exile shortly after they became aware that a group of refugees were arriving in Akron from camps in Nepal. In the camps, which operated for more than two decades, the charity Oxfam had distributed backstrap looms. Simply put, looms that hook around your back and to a tree, with the weaving going on in between. Asmaya Suba demonstrates at a maker fair.
She's just... First, you have to make a strap for a bag so she can build a bag later.
She's now 64, with six grown children. She has a broad smile and a low chuckle and is talkative in Nepali. But as with many older people in the community, she relies on kids like Bursa Gimere to translate to English.
Things that the biggest miracle that happened was when she started doing like the weaving stuff.
Asmaya is not talking about Nepal. She's talking about a miracle in Akron. And it's not financial. It's emotional, a way out of isolation.
She was on the verge of depression every day because, like, she was, like, she didn't have anything to do. Like, she's sick all the time. She didn't have anything to do. Every night she used to cry.
Liz Kuhn says the group has been an outlet for even those who don't weave.
One of the interesting things about this, when we started working with them, we would set a place, somebody's apartment, and especially the older women, some of them would just be sitting there just wanting to be a part of it, not weaving, just to be there with everybody.
Still, with many of the refugees working hard labor day jobs like hotel maintenance, Kuhn says weaving, even for small projects like purses, can get set aside. But not with these core three. This year, they graduated to creating more complicated weekender bags. And that's where marketer Amy Kratzer comes in.
We feel like as our market falls in love with these products and their stories, it will grow.
The nonprofit she and her husband started sells clothing and other items created by what Kratzer describes as vulnerable women, including women trafficked around the globe. Last year, she discovered the Kuhns and their group. And in their first big venture, they created the Nilam Weekend Bags, the first to incorporate leather stitched to the woven cloth. Kratzer describes it as a metaphor for the two cultures. And all 21 bags, at $269 each, sold out within 24 hours. Mangali and Manmaya Rai and Asmaya Suba got $100 from each bag they created. Kratzer says the goal is far bigger.
I see them as leaders and directors eventually over this, the weaving program. You know, these women are not going to weave the rest of their lives, but there are other women in the community that can learn and they can be, I believe, that already know how to do this. But we
through Bursa, the three Bhutanese women say the extra money is important, but so is the need to be active and appreciated.
Because they make so many bags, they don't know. But when people compliment on, they're like, oh, yeah, this one's good. This one's beautiful. This one's really nice. Yeah, see, they don't know because they're modest.
And as they sew their names into each bag they made, Liz Kuhn says they're gaining confidence in their work and themselves.
Put it in the middle here where everybody can reach it.
You're listening to an Akron refugee story from surviving to thriving.
Over the last decade, the International Institute of Akron has brought thousands of people from Nepal to Akron. It's also brought Tiffany and Stacy and Amber Suba together. Theirs is the first and believed to be only mixed marriage between a Bhutanese refugee and an Akron area native. And theirs is a story of hope, touched ever so slightly with fear. Tiffany Stacy dives openly into the story of her romance with Amber Suba, describes the personalities of her two children, talks about her relationship with her in-laws, and worries about the impact of America's politics on refugees. Her husband is pretty much the opposite.
And I don't like to be loud. I don't want to be open with people all of a sudden. Like,
Stacy thinks about it.
We're both extreme versions of our own culture. Nepali people on average are quiet and private and indirect. He's extremely so. Americans on average are more loud and open. And I'm extremely so.
But the couple adds, it works. Thanks, in a way, to President George W. Bush. In 2006, he decided the 100,000 Bhutanese in seven camps in Nepal were a U.S. concern. In 2007, the screening of some 60,000 of them and work with local resettlement agencies like the International Institute of Akron began. And in 2008, Suba and his family arrived. Meanwhile, Stacy, raised by her grandparents, had followed her grandfather's advice and gone to college instead of working at the Chrysler plant in Twinsburg. She intended to join the Peace Corps, but a Kent State professor advised her,
think global, act local. If you're looking for a volunteer opportunity, you should go and work with some refugees in North Hill. And so I took an internship at the International Institute.
And that's where she first spotted Suba, a new interpreter.
I thought he was the cutest thing I'd ever seen. I was very young at the time and shy, and we spent a few months staring at each other and our fellow office workers making comments about, would we just date already?
Eventually, he asked her if she liked him. She mumbled a response. He kissed her. And 5 years ago, they got married. They acknowledge their intermarriage came early in the evolution of a refugee community, and it's still a curiosity. Suba says he gets questions mostly from the very old and very young in the Bhutanese community.
One boy even said, like, can you just, what do you call, sell her or something?
Yeah, sell her.
Can you sell her and get married with Nepali?
Stacy says she gets polite questions from the Bhutanese about their marriage.
I find most people are very welcoming of it. Some people are amused. They ask me a lot of questions, like if I eat rice or not.
She does, though not for breakfast. As for the broader Akron community, Stacy says there is barely a ripple. Most Northeast Ohioans know nothing of the Nepali refugee story and assume they're just another mixed marriage of immigrant and native-born. In some ways, beginning with the dozens of pots of outsized marigolds in the front yard, their home in Cuyahoga Falls is traditional Nepali. The garland hangs in the door. The jars of gundruk, with lettuce fresh from the garden, ferment in the backyard. And the family is an extended one. His parents, Danta Bapu and Kaga Suba, live with them. The families of a brother and sister live nearby. Overall, Stacy says,
The best thing is I'm never lonely. The worst thing is I'm never alone.
And she says nearly four-year-old Silas and 18-month-old Paulina love it.
Because my kids don't go to daycare. They're going to spend the day in the garden, digging in dirt, growing vegetables, and learning two languages. And they're very...
Okay, Johnny, Johnny.
Three, if you count the Suba tribal language of Limbu. And then there's the language of music. Amber Suba composes, sings, and plays instruments like the harmonium, a kind of accordion turned on its side and set in an elaborate wooden box. Paulina is absorbed. Silas plays the drums. Neither Suba nor Stacy are with the International Institute anymore. President Trump's drastic cut in refugees led to staff cuts. She now consults with employers on cross-cultural issues. He works for the Summit County Department of Job and Family Services. But both worry about the future of their extended family and refugee community. Stacy remembers her father-in-law's pride when he voted in his first election in 2015.
And then every time he came home, he would put his little I voted sticker on this photo of himself as a young man on the wall.
Last year, changed that.
And then the day of the election, he looked at me and he said, I don't think it matters. They don't want us.
All she could do, she says, is what she hopes others do. Assure them they're all wanted.
Open your mouth.
Daddy, we're hussy.
The Bhutanese refugee story is considered by the international resettlement community as one of the most successful in history. But there's lots of uncertainty about the future of refugees still overseas. President Trump issued an order this year capping the number of all refugees allowed in the U.S. at 45,000. That's about a third what President Obama had cleared. Trump is also considering a shift in refugee policy from reuniting families to giving priority to those with special skills. Meanwhile, local communities like Akron and Summit County are embracing a different narrative, looking to draw on the strength of the Bhutanese community to figure out how to make other refugees feel welcome in a time of uncertainty.
Thanks for listening to An Akron Refugee Story, From Surviving to Thriving. This documentary is a production of WKSU News, reported and produced by M.L. Schultze, edited and engineered by Andrew Meyer. The reporting in this program comes from a collaboration with Huffington Post as part of its Listen to America road trip. You can find more information on the reporting and the cross-country engagement tour at huffingtonpost.com. You can also find out much more about our ongoing reporting on Akron's Bhutanese community at wksu.org. I'm Andrew Meyer. This is WKSU.